sure that those of you that are close enough to see how many articles I've run up here are worried that this is a watch night service. I'll just warn you that I'm trying to be selective. I did take a peek at some of the questions that were up here concerning the search for the Ark of the Covenant, and I can hardly wait to tell you about the little vial of oil they found to anoint the kings, something concerning the search for the ashes of the red heifer, and we're going to have to put that off until tomorrow. I mean, no, I was tell you what, about 9:30, I'll ask you again if you want to hear about it. Because I'm spending the night, and so it doesn't matter to me. But we may have to delay some of those for tomorrow. And we'll see how our time goes. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that interpretation. I want to give just a little commercial before we start. No, I mean a big commercial before we start. Last weekend, we had a conference back home, and the tapes of that are now available. See, they're even in color. If you buy a green set, they are green. If you buy a yellow set, they are yellow. There's purple. I don't know why they didn't send purple, but we got purple tapes with purple color. Yeah. You can tell that the girls are the ones that make the decision on all this stuff, but I got to admit they look nice. And Dave Hunt was one of the speakers, and it was just incredible. It was a great time together. If you'd like to enjoy that, there's also videos available, and I just didn't bring those. I'm going to be quoting tonight some of the things in the New Age, and among the books that I will quote from will be Tex Mars. And in his book, and there's three different books. I've just brought two of those back on the table, but that's the book when I quote from Tex Mars that I'll be using tonight. The other one called Mega Forces, I'll be quoting from tomorrow morning, should the Lord tarry. And then some of you have talked to me about, do I go to Israel? And the answer is yes, I go to Israel. Every chance I get, I go to Israel. And my wife thinks the only reason I'm the principal of the school is because one of the graduation requirements is you must go to Israel. Isn't that fun? So we've been over there several times with kids from the school, and we'll be going again. One trip is June the 5th through the 20th. We'll do Jordan for several days because there's a lot of the Bible in Jordan. In addition to Petra, where I think the Jews will hide in the tribulation, it's the land of the Hittites and the Moabites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Termites and the Electric Lights. So we'll see all the Ites and Petra. And then we'll do Israel for about 12 or 13 days. And then we'll go down to Egypt. And again, it's the land of the Bible. That's where Joseph and Moses spent their good portion of their lives. That's where Christ was when he was a boy. And we'll see the pyramids and the Sphinx, King Tut's treasures and so on. And just several days there. Then there's another trip June the 18th through July the 1st. No, it's not a misprint on the dates. I'm going to stay there, and as one group goes home, I'll stay there and meet the other group, and that way I can try to save a couple days on my schedule. And after you've flown back and forth three or four times, that's not the most fun part of the trip, and so I'm just going to stay there. But if you would like to come, there's a couple of people that have actually been on a tour with me and lived to tell about it. And so Elaine is here and Dorothy is here, and we have a good time. I don't think it's conventional, but it is a good time. And most of all, it's a time of learning. And by the way, if you're a Dave Hunt person, Dave Hunt is going with us on the second trip. And So that's another added incentive. Stories told about it. Someone will do this when I'm done. That's why I'm chuckling. Stories told about a man who had never been at this place before, and when he finished speaking, he was shaking hands with people, and on the way out, a guy came by guy came by and he had an unusual color blue suit, and as he came by and shook hands, you know, everyone was saying, nice sermon, thanks for coming, and so on. This guy said, lousy message. I kind of took the preacher back for just a moment, you know, and he ran out the door, circled around the back, came in the back, and got in line again. And as the preacher, you know, continued to shake hands, this guy comes by again. And he says, terrible delivery. He said, you read everything from your notes. The guy was shocked, and the little guy disappeared out the front door, ran around the back, got in line again. And came by, shook hands. He says, you're a liberal. They'll never have you back. And he ran out the door, came around the next time, and the guy almost hesitated, but he shook hands with him. He says, terrible, terrible. And he left. So when everything was done, the guy was saying to one of the other people, he said, there's a little fellow. He said, they came by about four times. Oh, he says, I know who you're talking about. He says, don't worry about him. He said, he's simple. I mean, he just repeats what he hears everybody else saying. So, Matthew chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Tonight we want to look at the subject of New Age, O Lie. Satan is a powerful foe. He's not as powerful as any believer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. It's wonderful to know, isn't it? And Satan has been a master deceiver since the Garden of Eden. And as we look at something dawning called the New Age, we need to realize that the New Age is really the old lie. And Satan's lie that it began in the Garden of Eden, it's continuing today, and it's making great inroads. Today, you and I live in a day and a time when the New Age can boast this. We have made more converts in the last year than Christianity has in the last decade. The fastest growing religion in the world, as well as in America, is the New Age. It is sweeping college campuses. It is humanism redone. It is involved in sports, in business, in commercials, in entertainment, and it's also in the church. I recently visited an assembly of God's people, and part of their Sunday school material was New Age. I listened to people talk about self-esteem. I just spent several hours with someone, and they continued, and he said, my self-esteem, my dear friend, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that one of our enemies is self. And this whole idea that our poor self-esteem, my dear friend, there's no such thing as having too bad a self-esteem. You know what the Bible says? We're to deny self. You know what Satan's problem was? He thought self was better than God. So let's go back to the drawing board and let's take this whole business of self and positive thinking and motivational theory and let's examine it based on God's Word. I'll tell you what, it is a vehicle through which people are really subsiding, I think, to what is the most serious lie of Satan. Today we have something called a New Age movement, and it is a counterfeit to Christianity on every hand, on every face. There has never been a challenge to Christianity in terms of the totality of what the New Age represents. But the New Age thinking, let me show you how subtle it is, and let me show you the basic foundation of it. And then let's begin to examine some of the claims that they are now making. My dear friend, it's frightening. And the consolation I have is John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that wonderful to know? I tell you what, if I didn't know Christ as my Savior, I would be frightened at what I see going on in so-called religious circles today. Matthew 24, notice what it says in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. I believe Matthew 24 is a tribulation text. It is not referring to the church. It is talking about a time when God will begin to deal with the Jews and Israel again. Matter of fact, if you like to have an outline, it talks about three things. The people, the place, the period. Don't you like when they all begin with the same letter? My wife says I spend more time doing that than I do anything else. The people, it will talk about Jewish people. The place, it will be Jerusalem. And the period is Jacob's trouble. So this is not the church. And the question is, all right, when is the end of the age? And what are the signs of thy coming? And the end of the age, listen, the rapture takes place now. The end of the age, they're saying, all right, when will we establish the kingdom of God, the millennial kingdom? And he says, listen, before that takes place, I want you to know that there will be a great deception. Let no man deceive you. Then, verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. The Bible is very clear that one of the things in the last days is that Satan will manufacture a counterfeit so realistic that even the elect would believe it. But thank God they're gone. Isn't that marvelous? I sat on a plane on my way to New York. I was reading my Bible. And the young man next to me said, I see you're reading your Bible. I said, yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I'm reading John 3. I'm always reading John 3 when someone asks. He says, don't bother, he said, to turn to it. He said, I'm a New Ager. He said, I just came from Arizona. He said, when you see the miracles that my Jesus does, you'll forget all about your Jesus of 1900 years ago. He meant it. 27-year-old computer program, owns his own company. And he began to talk about some of the programs that they have in the New Age movement. My dear friend, it's frightening. It is the fastest growing religion in America and in the world. Recently, they boasted, I'll show you the article, they boast of 1 billion people that now subscribe to the New Age thinking. 1 billion. I tell you, you can forget every other denomination, you can forget every other religion. All of them are bringing together, coming together in the most incredible way. You know what I believe? I believe that the Bible says that in the last days there would be a false church, a harlot, a religious harlot. And my dear friend, I think we're beginning to see it. Amen. I really believe that before it will come to its great conclusion, I think the church is gone. And I don't mind telling you, I'm packed. I'm ready to go. If he blows the trumpet tonight, I'm on the first bus. I've already got a ticket for the first bus. I don't know. Some of you may want to stick around to the midpoint, but not me. I'm on the first bus. You know, some of you say, don't you think you're just a little bit too pre-trib? Listen, folks. I know that there's a pre-trib stand. There's a mid-trib stand. There's a post-trib stand. There's another one out called the pan. Have you heard that? Pan-trib. They say it doesn't matter whether it's pre, post, or mid. It'll all pan out in the long run. I'm not that one either. I'm so against post-trib, we don't even eat post-toasties at my table. Listen, I believe that God has a plan for the church is to take it out. It's not going to run care of it. You can't believe I said that. Don't you dare tell my wife I say some of these things. That's why she doesn't travel with me very often. About one trip a month is all she can take. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. It says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's the word deceive again. Verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, thank God it's not, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. It's powerful, isn't it? Now listen, I believe that Matthew 24 is talking of the kingdom, not the rapture of the church. And so when he says in verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree, I think that is Israel. By the way, Israel thinks it's Israel. Do you know that? They adopted it as their symbol in 1948, the fig tree. Was that an accident? You can think so, but they don't think so. When I go to a Jewish conference, there's only one passage of Scripture that I can speak of in the entire New Testament. You know what it is? Matthew 24, verses 32 through 35. That's the only one I can read from the New Testament. Otherwise, it's all from the Old Testament. You want to know why? Because they think they are the fig tree. And this clearly says that when you see the fig tree come and its branches are yet tender, would you say a 40-year-old nation is tender? I think so. And it puts forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation. Now some people say, well, maybe that's referring to the nation of Israel. Does it make any sense? when the millennial kingdom begins, will Israel pass away? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. The Bible doesn't say that. It says in the millennial kingdom, Israel will have its greatest day, right? So it's not referring to Israel as a nation. It's a time question. They said, when shall these things be, didn't they? And when he answers, he says, this generation, the people that see Israel reborn will see the millennial kingdom begin. That's what it says. My friend, I don't mind telling you, I think Jesus is coming. I really do. And I think he said, listen, you'll know I'm near at hand because this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth, they'll pass away. But my words, my prophecies, they'll never pass away without being fulfilled. Isn't that great? I tell you what, that's something thrilling, isn't it? And he says this, watch out, because four times he says, there will be a deception coming. And Satan has decided the best way to deceive people is through the means of religion. The enemy of Christianity is religion. Religion sends more people to hell than booze will ever do. I'll tell you what, I want to remind you that it was religious people that crucified Christ, wasn't it? And so the idea that religion is good because they mention God, it's good. My friend, it's contrary to the Bible. I'll tell you what, Satan comes as an angel of light. And today, what we have sneaking into schools and churches and homes and entertainment, I'll tell you what, it's deception of the worst kind. Now, some people also say, well, but you know, before the Lord can come, the gospel's got to go forth to all the world. Have you heard that? I'll tell you what, that's not true. Look where that's found. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about that in the tribulation, the entire world will hear the gospel again. Not talking about this day and time. You see, it's important for us to understand the context of it. And he says that in that tribulation, there will be a great deception so that even the elect, if they were here, they would be deceived. That's how powerful it is. My dear friend, I believe that this is so solemn because, you see, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that those that heard the gospel and did not receive it, they will believe a lie. Let's turn to that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's not a light thing for people to live in a country like America where they're bombarded with the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. And now you know what restraineth, that he might be revealed in his time. He has a time. He has a particular time in which he will be revealed, not before that time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. I believe that is the Spirit of God within the church, as our brother mentioned earlier today. Verse 8, here's the time frame. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. Now the word reveal there means to pull back the cover. It says this, that he's always been there, but he's been covered up. So they'll pull back the cover and we'll see him. But until then, I don't think we'll really know who the Antichrist is. It's ridiculous to guess whether they have blue eyes or brown eyes. We don't know. The Bible does give some information about him, Revelation 13, verse 1. The Bible says that in Revelation 13, verse 1, that the Antichrist will come out of the seas or out of the nations as a whole. I personally believe the Bible is saying, therefore, that it will come out of the revived Roman Empire or the common market. We don't know whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. He could be a Jew born in the common market. I wouldn't be surprised, since he's anti-Christ, that he could well be a Gentile born out of the common market because he's anti-Christ. But we know in Revelation 13, I think it's verse 13, or maybe it's verse 12, where it says that the false prophet will come out of the land, of Israel. He'll be a Jew. And there will be a Jew that will say, listen, believe, accept the message of this person, and the Jews will do it. You see, just as there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's a false Trinity, the devil. He's analogous to God the Father. The Antichrist is analogous to Christ, and the false prophet is analogous to the Holy Spirit.
And so it says that he'll have his time, then he'll be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Listen, my dear friend, today we live in a miracle day and age when people love miracles, love signs, and love wonders, and the Antichrist will deceive them through exactly those things. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness, there's the word again, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, here's the reason why, they received, past tense, not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They had the chance and they did not receive Christ, therefore they will never accept Christ. This idea that there's a second chance, my dear friend, I think it's the biggest lie that Satan could ever manufacture. The Bible says that when people hear the gospel and they refuse the gospel, that when the Antichrist comes, his lie will be so believable that they will be the first to believe the lie. I believe the first Sunday after the rapture, every church will be packed, every Bible will be bought, it will be a record attendance, it will be the greatest religious movement the world has ever known. And the Terror Center, the New Age movement, is gearing up for it right now. They predict the year 1989 as the year of declaration when their Messiah will come forth. Wait till I read you some of the direct statements that they make. Next, verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, there's the word again, that they should believe the lie. You see, Christ said this, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Now, here it says the lie. If Christ is the truth, the lie must be a false Christ claiming to be the truth. Amen. Verse 12, that they all, not some, that they all might be judged who believed, past tense, they had the chance but did not take it, who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My dear friend, it's a tragic thing to hear the gospel and not to respond. It's tragedy. I remember a lady that I used to visit frequently. And she would always ask, every time she'd always ask, she says, do you believe that in a second chance? And I'd say, no, I don't. And I'd show her the scripture. And after several times of doing this, five or six times, I was so tired of that. You know what I said? I said, as a matter of fact, I said, I do believe in the second chance. She said, that's not what you told me last time. I said, I changed my mind. She says, you mean there is a... I said, yeah. You see, when I was here before, you had one chance, and I'm here again today, and that's your second chance, and that's all you get. Listen, my dear friend, the second chance, God has given us many chances. But once Christ has come and the church has been raptured, my dear friend, devastation breaks out on this old planet. Now turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 17. And we want to look what the Bible has to say about the deception that will come. We find that word again and again describing the last days. The Antichrist will come with deception. Many false Christs, many false prophets will come and they will deceive people. Revelation 17 verse 1, there came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Now what we find in Revelation 17 and 18 is talking about the last religious system, and it's talking about the last political system, and then it will talk about how the world's economic system will collapse. And he says, I'm going to show you the judgment, the final judgment of the great harlot. You see, everything that Christ has, the Antichrist wants. Christ has worship. You know what Satan wants more than anything else? He wants worship. That's why he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, listen, if you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you. Remember the promise? Christ has a bride, doesn't he? That's those who have received Christ by faith. We're his bride. We're his church. Do you know what Satan wants? He wants a bride. Christ wants a chaste virgin bride. The Antichrist says, no, I want a harlot. I want a prostitute, one that will sell herself for profit. Now, the great harlot, this great religious being, creature, will sit on many waters. I know what you're thinking. Look, that's why I don't read Revelation. I mean, what does it mean? Here's this prostitute sitting on many waters. Well, look, if you will, at verse 15. He said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. Isn't that clear? This religious being will be so great that it'll transcend all continents, all nationalities, in all religions. It will be made up of Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, Charismatics, Protestants, Catholics. Everyone will come into one. It will be a multi-nation conglomeration. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. In other words, we'll have a joining together of politics and religion. Are we beginning to see some of that even today? And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit. Notice her position. She's always sitting. That's important, and I'll show you why in a moment. Upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The seven heads, I believe, are seven world kingdoms. The ten horns are an indication of the last world kingdom will have a ten-nation federation. Verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. In other words, she was wealthily dressed, bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of her. Listen, every false religion has stemmed from her. She's the mother. She's the spawner of them. Now, if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 10, let's do quickly. Genesis chapter 10. Let me show you where we find another beginning to this. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter or rebel before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Look at the end of the verse. In the land of Shinar. All the way back at the Tower of Babel, remember, God was so disgusted that he scattered the people, didn't he? But the religion of Nimrod was this religion. We are gods. We'll build a tower to God. We'll reach up. We'll touch God. And we'll be gods. And it started in Babel in the land of Shinar. And every false religion has stemmed from exactly that place. It is Babylon, the mother, the spawner of all false religions. It's right there. Now, the story is an incredible one. And the reason I say it's an incredible one is because if we begin to look at some of the things that have happened in history, the way they've been passed down, it's not without significance. The wife of Nimrod, Samarius, claimed that she was pregnant by a sunbeam. Now, you can believe that if you want to, but I think she was messing around. And so she claimed that she got pregnant by a sunbeam, and so she has a child named Tammuz. And when he grows up, he becomes Baal, the sun god. Now, I don't believe that for a second. I think that's a giant lie. And when God scattered Babylon, Samarius became the first high priestess, and she took her religion and she scattered it to all the nations. And we are still affected by it even today. For example, if you go to Assyria and Nineveh, you'll find one called Astar. She's the Wonder Woman there. If you go to Egypt, it's Isis. And she has a little boy named Horus. Greece, and you'll find it. Italy and Rome. Matter of fact, in Italy and Rome, it's Venus and Cupid. I've just ruined Valentine's Day for you, haven't I? Well, think of another reason to buy her flowers. I'm not against buying flowers or candy, but that's really where it comes from. Do you know that it even affects our Saturday morning cartoons? Do you know what our children watch on Saturday morning? They watch a Wonder Woman. What's her name? It's Isis. And her sidekick is a little boy, and she has all the powers of God. Yeah. What's his name? Tammuz. Accident? My dear friend, you can believe that's an accident if you want to, but I'll tell you what, I believe it's a subtlety to sow into the minds of our children. Listen, there's magical powers in some people. This idea that we've got these heroes that are part man, part God, I don't see how it can be pleasing to God. They call them masters, plural, of the universe. How many masters of the universe are there? The Bible says there's one. Okay? And I'll show you an ad that they just ran, a New Age ad, and I'll show you what they're after. They talk about how they're after the imagination and the key to the mind of your child. They admit it. Sooner or later, my dear friend, we've got to get our head out of the sand, and we've got to recognize that we're in a battle. Listen, my dear friend, if this thing is a game, we're working too hard. It's like old Granny. They took old Granny to her first football game. I mean, she watched both sides battle back and forth all half long, and at halftime they said, "Granny, how do you like it?" She said, "Well, I'll tell you what." She said, "If this is a game, they're working too hard. But," she said, "if this is war, they're not working hard enough." And that's the way it is with us. My dear friend, if this is a game, we're working too hard. But if it's war, and it is, we're not working hard enough. Listen, I don't believe that we can sit around much longer, do you? Now, go back to Revelation chapter 17. Its beginning was in Genesis chapter 10. But when we go back to Revelation 17, it says this: "I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great wonder." It says that religion would be responsible for the death of many a believer. Is that true? Listen, all you need to do is go back into church history and you'll find out that religion put to death many a believer. Think of Savonarola. Maybe some of you have seen the film of his life. How convicting. Savonarola, sentenced to death because he believed that one could be saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And when they convicted him to die, his one request was this: "Don't tie me to the stake. Let me stand here." He says, the love of Christ, he said, "I want that to bind me, not your ropes." And he died singing praises to God. I'll tell you, that's convicting, isn't it? You know what he died of? He died by the hands of religion. Religion killed him. And if you begin to look at church history, you'll find that religion has been the enemy of not only Christ, but as well of Christians. And then, if you will, look down at verse 9. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." There is her position again. "And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue only a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Let's stop our reading there. Now he says, all right, there's only going to be seven world powers. If we were to go all the way back to the book of Daniel, remember Daniel, a Jewish teenager, God gave him a vision. And a vision, I don't mean he was hallucinating, but God allowed him to see the future of every world power. Remember the great image of Nebuchadnezzar? A head of gold, Babylon. The chest and arms of silver, the Medes and the Persians. The belly and thighs of brass, Alexander the Great and the Grecians. Two legs made of iron, the Roman Empire. And then, coming out of the iron legs, feet, 10 toes, part of iron, a revival of the Roman Empire, and part of clay, a mixture of religion and politics together, an extension of the Roman Empire. Now let's see how accurate he is in history. Remember that Revelation was written in about 95 AD, wasn't it? Who was in power then? Rome. So he says, all right, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he'll only rule a short time, and the Antichrist will take over. All right, now let's look at this. The five: Assyria, 1. Egypt, 2. Babylon, 3. Medes and the Persians, 4. Alexander the Great, 5. And the next one? Rome. He knows history, doesn't he? Five are fallen, one is. And after the one that is, Rome, there will not be another one to the very end, and it'll be a 10-nation federation. Listen, do you realize that if Hitler would have read that, he would have known he could never have made it? If Mussolini would have read it, he would have known. If Napoleon would have read it, they would have known they could never do what they thought they could do. Because the Bible said that after Rome, there would not be another world power until there was a revival of the Roman Empire and a 10-nation federation. Listen, that's powerful, isn't it? I remember several years ago when I went to the librarian in Wichita, we have a service where you can have them do a little research project for you. And so I copied Revelation 17 and 18. I gave it to you. I said, I just want articles on the common market, and I want you to use Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Time Magazine, that's all. She called me in about 2 or 3 weeks. She said, I've got a folder 2 or 3 inches thick. I went down there. I couldn't believe. She says, you know, there are some days I don't know whether I'm reading Revelation 17 and 18 or reading Wall Street Journal. That's how accurate it is. I said, is there anything in the research you've done that talks about how that they were going to go from a 10-nation federation to 12? She said, you got to be kidding. And this librarian ran across the library yelling and brought back an article that talked about the projection of the common market to go to 13 nations. Now, this is great. Listen, you know what the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7? Daniel chapter 7 says that the common market, this last power, when the Antichrist comes, will pull three nations out, but it will remain 10 toes. You know that we just went through a period of time when the common market went from 10 to 12, and the 13th nation has already made application to get into the common market January the 1st of 1990. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying it puts goosebumps on my goosebumps when I see how close we are to the Lord's coming. My dear friend, I don't think we'll ever be here to see it. I think we'll be watching it from heaven. But I'll tell you what, they're making plans, aren't they? Now, lest you think that this is just some crazy prophecy preacher, and I admit I'm crazy, but listen to this. Here's a little poem that I learned in junior high. A smiling young lady from Niger took a ride on the back of a tiger. They came back from the ride with a lady inside and the smile on the face of a tiger. I know the poet didn't have this in mind, but doesn't that sound like the story we just read in Revelation? This harlot sits on the political power. They conquer the world, and all of a sudden, the political power says, hey, we don't need religion, and it devours the harlot. That's what's going to happen to religion. Now look, if you will, at Revelation 17 and verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the harlot, they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Tell you what, they cannot do one thing outside of the will of God. Aren't you glad? That's my God, folks. And give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman whom thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's her future. Now, let's just see how close are we to exactly that. Well, here's some interesting articles. Time magazine. The United States is no longer the world power. And they submit to you that the world power is becoming the common market. They say they're number one in gold supply. They're number one in troop size. And they're number one in gross national product. Minneapolis Star and Tribune. Congratulations to the common market. It says, when it started, six little nations trying to ward off communism, we felt sorry for you. But it says, the work has succeeded. Western Europe today is no one's object of economic pity. Its combined productivity is greater than America's, Japan's, or the Soviet Union. The original six nations have grown to 10. Several are standards of living higher than America's. Congratulations, you are the next power of the world. I quote, this is a whole study done by a senior at a state university, and the name of it is Countdown to 1992, when the common market claims that they will take over as the dominant power. I quote from this, Peter Sutherland, the Economic Community Commissioner, says the EEC system of government is unlike any other regional grouping. It is not based on consensus, but on application of the law that 12 nations are obliged to accept. It is more powerful than people realize. He's exactly right. And this whole article shows how that every step they make is one more step toward a united Europe and a one world government system. A unified Europe, a truly common market by 1992, since the fall. This is out of the Wichita Eagle and Beacon. It's not a Christian publication. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there has been a dream of a united Europe. And then it goes on to say, but for the first time, we're seeing the reality of it. They go back and say, since Rome, this is the first world power. That's exactly what the Bible says in the book of Daniel. Northwest Airline Magazine. It's not a Christian airline nor a Christian publication. 1992 and all that, and there's a 7-page article. It says, within 4 years, Europe will be the largest consumer market in the world. Supporters say that this may be the most ambitious plan to unite the world ever. They're propagating it. And article, 12 nations, soon to be 13, right now an even dozen. And they talk about how that it's amazing. This is a revival of the Roman Empire. They say it. In their own secular paper,
Europe Magazine, the official spokesman for the common market, it says, the common market is a 12-headed monster pointing the way to the future. Now, same magazine, the cover of it, June 1975, they adopted as the official symbol of the common market a Roman goddess riding on the back of a beast. An open defilement of what the Bible says. My friend, I don't mind telling you, I think the Lord's coming soon, don't you? Listen, I think the political structure is here. Somewhere in my arsenal of quotes, if I could find it, it would be the same as finding the needle in the haystack. But we just found the needle. Okay? This is April 1989. Okay? Telemarketing Magazine. I know, you're wondering, what in the world do you do besides read? You know, I read everything. If they put cereal boxes on the table, I read them all. And, you know, I'm the only person that likes to go to a doctor because I know I get to read in the waiting room. And I read everything. Listen to this. Newcomers welcome. And in the Telemarketing Magazine, it says Europe in 1992 in perspective. It says, welcome all new members. He said, hey, before I get started on this, he said, every year thousands of new progressive marketing executives come to the telemarketing industry hoping to upgrade their systems and profitability. Well, wait till you see the great big customer we have in Europe. And then it says, Europe 1992, is it opportunity or a pitfall? And it says, listen, the trouble with this and why you need telemarketing, he said, is because to understand the Europeans, you got to think like the Europeans. The French, can they sell to the English and to the Germans and so on? He says, perhaps this is why the report needs to the people need to understand that a united Europe will need a leader. He italicizes it. Only one overall leader to function effectively to bring us into a one world system. That's not some religious crackpot, folks. That happens to be a man who's the president of the biggest telemarketing corporation in the world. And he just said it this past month. You see, I really believe that we're on the verge of seeing the Bible fulfilled in a marvelous way. Listen, people have waited hundreds of years to see what you and I read and hear every day. We're bombarded by it on every newscast. I think we've been so bombarded by it, I think that it's past the point of us even making wise use of some of the things that we see. Now, that's the political structure. But the Bible also says that there would be a religious structure that goes along with it. I want to suggest to you that the New Age movement actually poses as a great religion for this new political vehicle. But I think the most skeptical among us would have to say, you know what? There is a revival of the Roman Empire. It does appear to be fulfilling all of the verses that the Bible says. As a matter of fact, I believe that England will be among those nations that will be pulled out by the common market. And isn't it interesting what they're now saying about Margaret Thatcher and being rejected from the common market? The Bible says three nations will be pulled out. I think God is allowing us to see some incredible things. Why would he allow us to do that? I'll tell you why. I think he wants us to live like Christ is coming. That's why. Now, what about the religious tenor in which we're living? Well, let me propose to you that the common market at least proposes as one possibility of a last religious system. And here are some of the things that the common market is saying, or the Terra Center and the New Age movement is saying. They are saying this. The Christ is now here. Now, that's a bold statement to make, isn't it? And this happens to be their newsletter. Anyone can get on the list. Okay? We call them. Matter of fact, they say that he will be able to give you a message telepathically the same way E.T. gave Elliot a message telepathically. Now, I know that by the time this is over, I'm not going to be the most popular guy in the state. Because by the time I finish, I will attack Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, Shirley MacLaine, Saturday morning cartoons, Prudential Life Insurance, McDonald's, and just about all. The Smurfs. Someone told me that. She said, I bet you can find something wrong with the Smurfs. And I said, as a matter of fact, I can. Yeah. When Papa Smurf gets his power from Beelzebub, I can find something wrong with the Smurfs. Okay? Listen, sooner or later, we've got to be willing to say, listen, that offends me. And too long, we sit there and we swallow it. And after a while, folks, we just have to belch and say, I can't take any more of that. So they say their Christ is now here. He's been accepted for generations by many religions. The Christians know him as Christ. The Jews await him as the Messiah. The Hindus look for the coming of their leader. The Buddhists look for their Buddha. The Muslims have a hope for the appearing of Muhammad and so on. And it says, but the age of Aquarius is the teacher and God of all humanity. Regardless of race or belief, he comes not to judge but to aid and to inspire. And they go on to say, on the day of declaration, the international radios and television networks will be linked together. Maitreya will be invited to speak to the world. He will show his face on television. You will hear his appeal telepathically. Now, let me show you the power of that. You see, E.T. was written by Steven Spielberg, who's an unbelieving Jew. Remember Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader? I've not seen the movie. I'm not going to go and see the movie. I'll learn all about it by visiting with your kids. But in the movie, I had a little girl come and tell me, she says, Mr. Lindstedt, isn't Luke Jesus Christ? I said, no. Luke was a doctor that traveled with Paul. My kid said, Dad, you are out of it. She's talking about Luke Skywalker. I said, where did you ever get that? She said, my teacher told me that Luke Skywalker is Jesus Christ. Now, that we can't pray in schools, but we can have somebody tell them that Luke Skywalker is Jesus Christ. And the whole thing is fighting evil against good, dark against light, Luke Skywalker against Darth Vader. Ask them who wins. You know what they say? We don't know who will win. My dear friend, the Bible says who wins, doesn't it? Amen. Listen. And then it goes on to the Return of the Jedi. I'll go easy on Star Wars and the Return of the Jedi, but I'm going to poke it one more time. And the Return of the Jedi, guess what we find out? We find out that not only does Darth Vader and Luke go against each other, but we find out that Luke Skywalker is the child of Darth Vader, that Jesus Christ is the offspring of the devil. My dear friend, you may believe that, but I don't. And just to mention it makes my blood boil. Listen, my dear friend, that is the most hideous, insidious lie that could ever be manufactured. We have people tell us, oh, those are just great. The authors of those movies told us, as we invited them to talk to the College of Engineering about special effects in movies, they told us that just as Greek mythology explains the way the Old Testament, Star Wars explains the way the New. And we swallowed it. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I'll show you. I think I can prove it. On the day of declaration, they said every person will hear his words in their own language. From his point of omnipotence and omnipresence, he will repeat on a worldwide scale the true happenings of a Pentecost. At the same time, hundreds of thousands of spontaneous healings will take place all over the world. In this way, humanity will know that this man, and only this man, is the true Christ. And they looked for him in 1989. This is the same group that predicted all of the things concerning the earthquakes in Russia, the earthquake in Canada were predicted, the collision, the downing of Pan American Flight 107. They predicted all those things. My dear friend, they are predicting that this will be the year of declaration. I don't think they have the power of prediction. But I'll tell you what, if they're saying they're looking for their Christ, you know what? I've got to be looking because my Christ, my Jesus is going to come before their Antichrist can ever make himself known. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He cannot come until that which hinders him will be removed. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if their Christ did come in 1989. But I know this, my Lord Jesus will come at least one day quicker. Are you ready? I think we're on the brink of eternity. And too long, we've been silent too long, we've been playing games. My dear friend, this is eternal life versus eternal death. And I'll tell you what, if we know Christ is our Savior, sooner or later, we must begin to tell people something of the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's a game, we're playing too hard. And if it's war, then we're not going at it hard enough. I want to show you some incredible things that happen. I want to give you a summary of what the New Age believes. Remember that this is the fastest growing religion. Here's the article where they boast a prayer for world peace that 1 million worshipers live. And I quote from them, we had a live global audience of 1 million people. And furthermore, it says over television, it says we had 1 billion people, a fusion of people into the brotherhood of mankind looking for peace. 1 billion people at one convocation. Tell you what, The Bible said that it would be worldwide, that she would sit on many waters. It would bring all of them into one thing. Listen to what they believe. I quote, in the Los Angeles Public School classroom, 25 first graders are told to lie still as their teacher tells them to imagine that they are perfect beings who are full of light and contain all the wisdom of the universe within them. This exercise is called guided imaginary. It's part of educators' curriculum of confluent education. It reflects your belief that we are all God. Now it goes on to say this, the New Age sees humanity poised on the edge of a worldwide transformation. Its supporters believe that the world's economic, military, social, political problems can be solved by releasing human potential. Here are the ideas. Number one, all is one. It means monoism. It means that there's no separation between humanity and nature, between humans and God. Instead, the universe is a seamless garment, a perfect unity. We are made of molecules just as this podium is made of molecules, just as the floor is made of molecules, just as God is made of molecules. We're all part of the same thing. All is one. Number two. Secondly, all is God. The Christian view of a personal God is abandoned in favor of an impersonal energy, force, or consciousness. In Eastern religions, such as Hinduism, Buddhism, the New Age God is more an it than a person. It is the force of Star Wars. That's not me, folks. That's them saying it. It's the force of Star Wars. Third, New Age thinking claims we are all God. First, all is one. Next, all is God. Next, we are all gods. Now listen to this. Whether we realize it or not, the God of the Bible is dethroned and humans are crowned supreme. The Father in heaven is replaced by the divine within each of us. Converts to this include Prince Charles, a convert to the New Age movement. There he is. Life magazine carried the story. California New Age. Oprah Winfrey on her television program is a convert to the New Age. Quoting Mr. Butterworth's book, and defending the movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, he said, Christ simply discovered he had God within him, just the same way we have God in us. He said, actually, he's not as much God as we are, because he says, you'll do even greater things than you've seen me do. And Oprah Winfrey said, I've read the book twice. She said, it transformed my life. My dear friend, Oprah Winfrey believes that she is God. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, it's high time we had enough guts to say, you know what, I find that totally, absolutely contrary to any rational thinking and any agreement to the Bible. Amen. Listen, too long we sit here and we feed on this. Now here's what they say. Knowing oneself is the key to entering into the New Age thinking. It's to awaken the God who sleeps at the root of our human being. It's also the goal behind confluent education. Children must realize the divine within. To the New Age advocate, all religions are but different paths to the same truth that all is one, all is God, and we are all gods. Now, to the New Age person, being born again doesn't mean spiritual rebirth through faith in Christ, but it means reincarnation. It means being born again and again and again and different lives to atone for one's own sin and to realize one's own godhood. How do you have this New Age experience? I quote, it may be attained through drug experiences, Eastern meditations, yoga, martial arts, hypnosis, biofeedback, and sex. You see what's the fastest growing religion on college campuses? There's no rules, folks. You're God. All of us make up the collective mind of God. If we all decide to do something, that's all right. My dear friend, any correlation between that kind of thinking and the Bible is an accident. Look at this. The underlying theme of the New Age is that we are self-realized gods. We inherit the supernatural. New Age disciples teach that as lords of our own universe, we create our own reality by the power of our thoughts. If we think things, we create them because we are gods and we have the power of creation. Now listen to this article. This one is poking open fun at me and a few others. I get worked up about this. Have you noticed? For most Americans, the New Age is a harmless mix of Shirley MacLaine. By the way, I hope you do realize that Shirley MacLaine is New Age. When she believed that she was a descendant of a god, sat in a hot tub, had sex with someone from another planet, and went to the, I've not seen the movie, I'm not about to watch the movie, I learned about it from visiting with your children. And she stood on the edge of the ocean and she said, I am, quoting from God in Exodus 3. She said, I am my own God. I am myself. I bow down to myself. I'll tell you what, for most Americans, the New Age is a harmless mix of Shirley MacLaine, Chandler's, and Crystals. But for a small number of Christians, here I am, around the United States, the spiritual and psychological beliefs that characterize the New Age movement are nothing less than the work of Satan. And in this article, they will use the yin-yang, the sign that we saw on every Olympic hour of viewing that we had. Korea got special permission. Instead of just using the five circles, they used the yin-yang. You see, the New Age, listen, it's in the Harvard School of Business, it's in the Stanford School of Business, it's in, last year, companies IBM, TRW, Polaroid, General Motors, they spent $4 billion on New Age thinkers to teach their manager how to do New Age management. It's in sports. This year's Olympics coverage said that our champions will be trained in their mind as well as in their body. And the opening ceremony of the Olympics, remember Brian Gumbel reading the nice little script prepared for him? He said, as the yin-yang comes together, he said, it's good against evil. And remember those men dragging those huge ropes, coming together time and time again? And finally, they curled into a peaceful coexistence. And every hour of Olympic viewing, it began with the yin-yang coming on. See, I'm not against the Olympics, don't get me wrong. I'm a sports nut. But what it did, it conditioned our mind. Hey, that's not so bad. That's not so bad. Do you know that the yin-yang comes from the New Age Bible? I can find it right in the New Age Bible. The very symbol. The little pot that they used every time they brought the Olympics on for an up-close special, it's right out of the New Age Bible, folks. Listen, sooner or later, we got to realize that Satan is the angel of light. There's the yin-yang, and this book was put out way before the Olympics ever took place, and it's very clear that there's a peaceful coexistence between the devil and God, between good and evil. My dear friend, you can subscribe to that, but I don't. I'm offended by that. And yet, I talk to Christians who are playing on major sports teams, and I know of two universities that they brought in New Age people to program the thinking of people before they go into major athletic events, including some of the bowl games. And I had young men call me and say, listen, do you think this sounds like New Age? And I said, okay, let's hear. And I said, hey, I'd just tell the coach I'm not about to subscribe to that. Well, you don't win many Oscars doing this. Here we go. Okay, it says this, the course taught that you can create your own destiny through the powers of your own mind. Now listen to their platform. There is a growing recognition that the New Age is a religion and that it's very hostile to Christianity. They finally understand one thing that we're saying. Okay, here are their 7 points. Number one, Jesus was not and is not the only Christ, nor is he God. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but I know what it does to me. Okay? Number two, God is an impersonal, cosmic, or a God of energy forces. Number three, man is himself God. Matter of fact, in every article that you read in the New Age, they capitalize the word self, capital S-E-L-F, and when they talk about God, it's always little G-O-D. I tell you, I have trouble sometimes sitting in a panel discussion in a radio studio with some of these people because they... to look at their articles and to see capital S-E-L-F and little G-O-D just doesn't go over real good with me. Man is himself God, for he consists of and is the creator of forces. Man already inherits the power in his being for divinity and needs only to awaken to this fact. Number four, man should seek and accept spiritual instruction directly from the spirit world. Number five, all religions and religious teachings lead to the same goal. All have equal merit, may I add, except Christianity. You know, for some reason, that one's not equal to the others. Number six, the ancient wisdom of Babylon, Egypt, and Greece, not the Bible, is the basis of all truth. Seven, sin and evil do not exist. Peace and love are the ultimate realities. They say our claims are set forth in the book of Revelation. We are simply fulfilling God's word. We are the Pentecost. We are on the verge of Pentecost. That's their statement. A disc jockey recently told me that New Age music will soon be bigger than rock and roll. Here's conservative Kansas, a New Age born in Kansas. Pretty subtle, wouldn't you say? I mean, just a full-page ad. Lest you think that it's just Kansas, here is the article. Oh, boy. You know, I'm absent-minded anyway. And it worked pretty good when I was at the university because, you know, I had six or seven sets of keys and I could never find one. 2 years after we moved, I still drove up in my old house's driveway three nights a week. You know, and the neighbors, you know, they said, you know, this is great. You know, we keep up on all the news because I'd pull in and I'd get out and I'd realize, oh, I don't live here anymore. And I went to the store the other day. You know, and I knew I was supposed to go to the store. I just couldn't remember what I was supposed to get. So I called up my wife and I said, I just thought I'd check and see if there's anything else you might want. She says, no, just get the things I told you to get. And I said, well, would you like some milk besides that? Hoping you say, no, you know, get the butter, get the eggs, and get home. And she says, no, just get what I told you to get. I said, well, what about some fruit? You know, the kids like fruit. You want some fruit? She says, no, just get what I told you. And she says, you don't remember, do you? I said, no. I said, I hope it has to do with food because they said I'm at the grocery store. That's terrible. But here it is. I found it. See? Look at this. This is a full-page ad. I just shot it down out of the New York Times. Okay? I'm sorry. This one is out of USA Today. They've run it in New York Times, but this one's out of the USA Today. It says this. Drugs, AIDS, poverty, rampant crime, mass starvation, nuclear threat, terrorism. Is there a solution? In answer to our urgent need, the Christ is in the world, a great teacher for every religion and no religion, a practical man with solutions to our problems. He loves all humanity. What is he saying? He says, the problems of mankind are real but solvable. The solution has been within yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure of your action and solve the problems of the world. The answer to your problems are simple indeed. Without sharing injustice, man will know no peace. Trust in sharing to relieve the agony of the world. Allow me to show you the way forward to a simpler life where no man lacks, where no 2 days are alike, where the joy of brotherhood manifests through all men. When will we see him? I quote, it is my intention to reveal myself at the earliest possible moment and to come before the world as your friend and teacher. When you see and hear me, you will realize that you've known for a long time the truths which I utter. Sharing and justice, brotherhood and freedom are not new concepts. From the dawn of time, mankind has linked his aspirations to those beckoning stars. Now, my friends, we shall anchor them in the world. Christ is here, my friend. Your brother walks among you. Are they joking? Do you know what it costs to run a full-page ad in a national newspaper? We're not talking peanuts. Okay, the year of announcement. They said in May that Maitreya has told the United States and Russia to get together on military operations. That was in May. They made an open statement of that. July the 11th, U.S. and USSR met for the first time. August the 2nd, they met again. August the 13th, they met again. December the 3rd, they met again. All to fulfill some strange power, as Nancy Reagan said. All of them associated with Maitreya. Next, they also predicted that there would be, listen to this, October the 16th, 1980, they said there would be a major earthquake in Russia. On December the 7th, 6.9 magnitude earthquake in the Soviet Union, killing 55,000 people. They also said that there would be, after Hurricane Gilbert, there would be an earthquake in Canada. 3 weeks later, one occurred in Quebec. They said that the country suffering from drought will now get rain. In August the 17th, Sudan had flooding. September the 14th, Jamaica had flooding. September the 15th, Mexico and parts of Texas had flooding. October the 22nd and October the 2nd, floods also came to two other areas. Listen to this. July 23rd. Says a civilian airliner will be shot down at first for no obvious reason, then one will be found. Two planes will be lost, others will collide. In addition to this, we expect a pattern of air crashes and crashes on land. Within several days after that, August the 17th, a plane carrying the President of Pakistan, the U.S. Ambassador, and military personnel exploded, killing all aboard, exactly as predicted. August the 28th, two military planes collided during a show in Germany. December, there was a commuter train that crashed in London. December the 11th, a Soviet emergency relief plane carrying soldiers to Armenia, crashed, killing 78 people. December the 21st, a Pan American airliner crashed in Scotland, killing 270 people, and so on. My dear friend, I don't think it's a joke, do you? And then they say this, but our greatest prediction is this, bold letters, Japan will rise to the top. Public knowledge of AIDS, cancer healings through prayer, and so on, and among the other things, Maitreya's press conference and day of declaration, and then two pages on what to do to local radio and television stations to get the news out that the Christ is now here. I'll tell you what, I really believe that the Lord's coming soon. Now, I just, you'll be happy to know we're going to skip some of these. Other well-known celebrities involved, John Denver, New Age convert. Harry Belafonte, New Age convert. By the way, it's also in the local church. Are you ready? This I copied this out of a church bulletin. The particular church and denomination is not important. If I were to tell you what it was, you would say that they are fundamental. You may even recognize some of the wording. In less than 3 months, a great event will take place that could change your local church. The Committee on Evangelism of this, names the church, is sponsoring a major conference on renewal and evangelism to be held, and it names the place. The conference will address the theme, A Story to Tell, and we will welcome to our denomination a long-awaited evangelism thrust called the New Age Dawning. After Xeroxing this, I sat on the plane next to a preacher who just got back from a convention, and he showed me his notebook and where they were canceling one program after another, after another, after another, because they were going to launch the New Age Dawning in their local church. My dear friend, I really believe that Satan is a master deceiver, and he's making great inroads. Now, here's an article out of New York Times. It's called The New Age. Listen to this. Representatives of some of the nation's largest corporations, including IBM, AT&T, General Motors, met in New Mexico to discuss how metaphysics, the occult, and Hindu mysticism might help executives compete in the marketplace. It goes on to say, unless they will subscribe to this thinking, it appears that they will not be able to get their share of the market. It goes on to say this, what is changing, researchers say, is that an increasing number of middle-class Americans, many of them middle-aged, are now showing an interest in the supernatural phenomena that blends Eastern mystical thinking and Western occult thinking. I think it is political as much as religious. It is spreading into business management theory, a lot of other areas. If you look at it carefully, it represents a complete rejection of Judeo-Christianity. Side two. And in side two, it quotes how that the Harvard School of Business is now using it, Stanford School of Business uses it, and it says this. Perhaps it is best described as the sort of force at work in George Lucas's Star Wars films. That's New York Times synopsis of it. It says, despite the criticism, the New Age thinking has found its way into Stanford's well-regarded School of Business. Of the top 500 companies, 90% of them agree that the New Age thinking is the only way that they stay on the top. And it goes on to quote many other things. Well, for the sake of time, I'll quit that. Now, I had my kids at school. We studied the New Age, and I had them find articles. Here's one they found out of Newsweek magazine. Corporate mind control. New Age gurus want to change employee thinking. And it lists the companies, and it lists the money, and it totals $4 billion spent last year on training managers how to be New Age thinkers. In some of the articles, it actually tells them... Oh, you say, here he goes again. You know, you think when I put them on this side, you're safe, don't you? Oh, I tell you. And my wife is so well organized, you know. And there's a great article. No, it probably is, but if so, the Lord didn't. The Lord knows that you can only sit so long, so that's okay. Listen to some of these commercials. See if you recognize them. Crystal Light. I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. You deserve a break today. You really want to know what you deserve? You know what I deserve? I deserve hell. Now, I'm not saying don't eat where the arches are golden. You know, I mean, this body lives on junk food. You know, I'm not into this health food stuff. You know, I eat Brussels snouts and that kind of stuff, and man, you know, one pack of Brussels snouts does me for 10 years. You know, I'm into fast food, grease, and the whole cholesterol business. But, you know, but you deserve a break today. No, you know what you deserve? Be all you can be. I mean, they're telling you that. You know what you can be? You can be a great big sinner. That's it. Or you can be a little bitty sinner, but you're going to be a sinner. Next, teach her to love herself. That's sponsored by a church. Teach her to love herself. Find that in the Bible. Now, someone says, oh, you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He's not telling you to love yourself. He says, I know you love yourself, so love your neighbor the same way you do yourself. But a church comes on and gives this whole thing, says, teach her to love herself. Grab all the gusto. Have it your way. I did it my way. Get in touch with your feeling. If it feels good, do it. Satisfy yourself. Anything you can dream, you can do. Matter of fact, that's one of my favorites. Well, this is terrible. But see, I wouldn't mention the name of this life insurance company for anything, but they have as a symbol a great big rock. And Prudential advertises in all kinds of magazines. And here's what it says. If you can dream it, you can do it. Listen to this. There's no limit to your ability to create, to build, to dream. Now, I'm not against life insurance, and I'm not against Prudential, but when they make an ad like that, and then I go to the next magazine, and it says, you can move mountains. Listen to this. There's nothing you can't do. I called up the Prudential man. I said, man, I said, I read your ad. He said, oh, thank you for calling. I said, oh, listen. I said, I read that ad. I said, man, I said, I'll tell you what. Your ad says you can move mountains. And I said, in my backyard, I said, I have this little mound of dirt. And if I could just get that mound of dirt and spread it out over the soccer field, I said, I'd sure appreciate it. I said, and I know if you can move mountains, you can move that little mound of dirt. He says, no, he says, you don't understand. He said, and you know, he says, I can't move mountains. I said, no, I said, you can't. Look, you want to meet me for lunch. You can move mountains. There's nothing you can't do. I said, no, look, just take that little mound of dirt, bring it right over here on this side and spread her out. He said he couldn't do it. He advertises he can do it. I'll tell you what. My wife said I wasn't even nice to the guy. I was trying. You know, I was trying to avoid him from getting sued for faulty advertising. Listen to this one. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And someone told me that was biblical. They said, are you sure that's not biblical? Yes, I'm sure that's not biblical. The Bible never says learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Now, Mr. Rogers, y'all have Mr. Rogers? Okay, listen to this. Mr. Rogers has kids sing This Little Light of Mine, and he tells them that the light, the little light, is the divine within every one of them. Yeah, he's New Age. See, we've got to be careful, folks. 17 magazine, the most read magazine by girls between the ages of 14 and 21, it tells how to mellow out. You sit in a meditation position and you quote this, I am, I am, I am, quoting from God. Masters of the universe, power your child's imagination, capture his mind. The legends of the masters of the universe he creates with his own imagination, he makes them come alive. He will now have his heroes running around his bedroom floor. They live on his bedroom floor, and so on and so on. And it tells how you can convert him into one of the masters of the universe. My dear friend, I tell you what, I think we're living in the last days, don't you? Now, let me have you turn to one more scripture, and then one story. And I know what you're thinking, that we've already entered the tribulation. If you don't get a chance to stand, you'll think that we're smack in the middle of it, won't you? Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And I believe suddenly all this will come into focus. I pray it will. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Why would you want to be subtle? So you can deceive, right? which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Do you know that Satan will quote God three times? One time he'll leave out a word, one time he'll add a word, and one time he'll just switch the words around. Just one word, but it really changes things, doesn't it? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. God said, you shall surely die. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. He added the word not. For God, verse 5, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Recognize it? My dear friend, this may be the new age, but it's the same lie. Do you know that Satan hasn't had an original idea, an original lie in 6,000 years, and we're still falling for it, aren't we? I don't think the last religious system will come to its full power until the church is gone. But I'll tell you what, God has sure allowed us to see the beginning of it, hasn't he? This story is not true. Usually preachers say, now this is true. I'm going to tell you, this one is not. It's just a story. But I think it has a point. And that's why I close with that tonight. The story is told that there was a meeting in heaven. Satan wanted a plan to deceive men. And so he called all the demons together to have a meeting. All right, what's the plan? How we can deceive men? And as they sat in that room, well, one demon said, well, I've got an idea. The devil said, all right, what? He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell them that there really never was a Jesus. Satan said, that's the dumbest thing. He says, sit down. He said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He says, that's stupid. He says, do you know that there's more proof that there was a Jesus than there is that there was a Herod? Said the demon. He says, all right, who has another idea? Another person said, well, I'll go and I'll tell them that the Bible's a lie. The devil said, how dumb can you be? I mean, all they got to do is look around and they'll see that the Bible is being fulfilled every day. He said, sit down, that's a dumb idea. Well, the guy said. Another demon says, well, I've got an idea if no one else has got one. I'll tell them that there really was a Jesus and that there really is a Bible. But when Jesus died, he never resurrected. The devil said, you got to be kidding. He says, that is stupid. He said, if he never resurrected, he says, how can you explain the change in the disciples? Oh, said the little demon. I mean, for a long time there was silence. No one could think of an idea. Then one little demon says, well, he says, all right, he says, I've got an idea. He said, I'm going to go back up there and I'm going to tell him openly that the Bible is true. The other demon says, you've got to be kidding. He says, no, he says, I'm going to tell him that there really was a Jesus and that he really died and he really rose from the dead. And I'm going to tell him that the Bible is true and the prophecies are being fulfilled. And then I'm going to tell him, but don't do anything about it until tomorrow. And the devil said, you know, that's the plan. And my dear friend, I think his plan is working. Most people I know that know Christ as Savior, you know what? Someday they say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Man, someday I'm going to give out two or three tracts in one day. And heaven's going to be so proud of me. And God is going to be pleased with me. But the trouble is, it's always tomorrow. And that's the devil's lie. There might be someone sitting here tonight and you say, you know what? I'm worried. I mean, after listening to this all day long, I'm beginning to think maybe the Lord is coming. And if you're honest, deep down inside, my dear friend, you have doubts about your salvation. But the devil's lie is this. It's all right. Don't do anything about those doubts until tomorrow. It's the devil's lie. The Bible says, now is the time of salvation. My dear friend, if we can put it off till tomorrow, we'll put it off again, won't we? That's the devil's lie.
New Age, oh lie. I pray, oh God, help us to see that we're living in the final minutes of time and eternity is about to begin. I really believe the next sound we hear might be the trumpet piercing the night. I'll tell you one other story. You know, some of you probably heard the book that came out about the rapture in 1988. I loved it. I'm sad he set a date, but I like the fact that he said the Lord was coming. So we looked at that at school, and I have a friend back home that plays a trumpet, so we record a little trumpet song. I had that thing loaded up in the PA system. Now the coach is a good friend of mine, and I had him come by my Bible class. He said, man, he said, you can't believe. He said, you ought to see what's on television. I said, I'm not worried about it. I said, listen, I know that I'm going to be raptured before they ever invade Israel. Man, the students all go. He come back in a few minutes. He says, you can't. He says, you ought to see the tanks coming in there. Well, we had an air show that day, and we'd have 17 B-1 bombers, and they were bringing in some others, and these things were coming in, and you could hear them screeching over the school, you know, and so he says, you got to see this. He says, you just can't believe this. So I left the room, went into the tape room, just hit the play button. Trouble is, I didn't turn the PA off in all the other rooms, and that trumpet song went out through the entire school. Man, they came out of the typing room holding their heart. The fifth grade teacher said, he said, I know I heard a trumpet. The second grade teacher says, then what are you doing here? He says, the same thing you're doing here. I have a couple of great big old athletes in my class, and I came back in, and one guy was hanging on to him. He says, man, he said, I'm not going. And then we talked about, the tragedy of being left behind. And just for a moment, those kids thought they'd been left behind. And for about the next 45 minutes, we had one of the most dynamic prayer meetings you've ever heard in your whole life. I promised them I'd never do that again. But I sure had been tempted. Listen, my dear friend, do you know the ache of a heart? If that trumpet were to blast and you'd be left in your seat, oh, my dear friend, what a tragic feeling. I pray, oh God, wake us up. Wake us up. We're in the last days. I think it's time we gathered a little family around and said, listen, kids, do you really know Christ as Savior? Oh, to leave one of them behind. I think it's high time we went to our neighbor and said, listen, we've been living next to each other for 4 or 5 years, and I've just never told you the most important thing in all of life. I was at a shopping center the other day. I love going to shopping centers. I sit there on the bench. People sit down. My wife says, you look like one of those great big old scorpions when they sit down, Start talking about this and that, and pretty soon say, hey, can I read you something? I said, when you see this, I said, you get excited. Pull out your Bible, and they can't get away. Oh, boy, I tell you. Listen, we need to tell people the good news, don't we? It's good news. I tell you what the bad news is. The bad news is that there's going to be some who are going to be left behind. Oh, the ache of it. I have an old man down the street. His name is Howard. Howard doesn't have any relatives left. Howard's hurting. Howard... Every time I go to Howard's house, he cusses me up one end and down the other. Chews tobacco, spits it all over his floor. It's the awfulest thing he ever saw. But he's my nearest neighbor. And I had to go tell old Howard, something? Someone loves you. He thought I was talking about my wife, because my wife's always cooking him something. I said, no. I said, Jesus loves you. He said, there ain't no one loves me. I said, Howard, you know something? Jesus loved you so much he died for you. He says, you just don't know me. I said, I know I don't know you very good. But I said, Jesus knows you and he loved you. And I watched a hard old man, tears coming into his eye. He says, no one told me they loved me, he said, in over 50 years. He said, 50 years ago, he says, my mom died, my mother died. He's living in the house he was born in. And in 50 years, no one told Howard that someone loved him. The old man's not saved. But I'll tell you what, every time I go, I like to leave him a little simple gospel track. I got him a Bible. I know he looks at it because I see the tobacco on it. And I always like to open up to a verse and I circle and I said, now, Howard, listen, read this before you go to bed. Because, you know, Howard, this may be your last day. You may not make it till morning. I tell you what, you ought to read this. And I pray, oh, God, give me some love for some Howards. Because I'll tell you what, Christ died to save every sinner from their sin. And it's high time we recognize we're in the last hour. May God help us to speak with love and boldness in these last days, shall we pray. O God, our Father, as we come to the end of a day, thank you for allowing us to spend it together. But God, our heart is heavy. Lord, I think of friends of mine back home that don't know Christ. Lord, I pray that even now you might bring before them something of the gospel, maybe on radio, maybe a television special, maybe a book. Lord, I pray for my guide in Israel. I pray for Doris Baxter. I pray for others, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are here, that as we see all these things, Israel back in the land, the crops growing, a great army, a last religious system. Oh God, may we see the time is about to end and eternity to begin. Father, if there's one here that doesn't know Christ, may tonight they accept Him as Savior. Lord, for those that know Him, I earnestly pray that we may begin to live in view of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.